Now let's turn in our Bible again to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read this verse again. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, was afterward hungered, when the tempter came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And the Lord answered and rebuked him and said, It's written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the title of the message then will be taken from those verses. Christ was tempted of the devil. Was this temptation an assault of Satan against the Lord Jesus Christ? Was it real? Absolutely so. We read in Hebrews, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, but let us always know what the scriptures teach, that he never sinned against God. It's impossible for the God-man mediator to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was a real man, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He had no sin, he knew no sin, and he did no sin. Such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is the impeccable Savior, the impeccable Redeemer. He is the impeccable God-man in his character. His temptation came at the hand of the accuser of the brethren, came at the hand of the prince of this world, the god of this world, Satan is called. The devil tempted our blessed Lord 40 days, 40 nights, and was defeated. Defeated in the wilderness, and finally and totally defeated at the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ crushed his dominion, crushed his head in the fulfillment of the word of the Lord from Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ shall crush the dominion of Satan, and in doing so, the humanity, the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ was bruised. Satan tempted the Savior and was defeated. The accuser tempted the advocate and was defeated. The devil tempted our deliverer and was defeated. When the first Adam, and where the first Adam failed, when he was tempted of Satan in the garden, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not fail at any point and could not fail. You remember Romans 5:19, For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. The prince of this world was totally defeated by the prince of peace. The god of this world was conquered by the god of gods, the king of kings, the lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. As our Lord accomplished our salvation, at the same time he defeated Satan. We read in Colossians 2, Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them himself. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered all of our enemies. He conquered sin for us. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He overcame death for us. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. He honored the law of God for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He brought in everlasting righteousness for us and freely gives that to us. He is called the Lord our righteousness. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's the salvation and the blessing we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Now, the first event recorded in our Lord's earthly ministry after his baptism was this temptation by the devil. Now remember, all this is happening by the sovereign good providence of God. Our Lord comes from a high season of honor and glory after his baptism, and he passed immediately into a season of conflict, suffering, when he was assaulted by the devil. In the end of chapter 3 of Matthew, we read a low voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then in chapter 4, we hear the sneering and scornful words of Satan, "If you be the Son of God, you do this. If you be the Son of God, you act this way." The Lord of glory was not without affliction, sorrow, and heartache in this life. He's called in Isaiah 53 a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was indeed wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. God the Father, the old writers and the old preachers of the past would always say, God the Father had only one son, with no original sin, no actual sin, but none without sorrow. One Son, the God-man mediator, with no sin, but none, no sons of God, without sorrow, heartache, and pain. But our hope in this time of our trials is the grace and mercy and power of God. Our Lord says this in John 16 to his apostles before he goes to Calvary's tree, dying for the sin of God's elect. He said, "These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome." He said, "I'll never leave you." He said, "I'll never forsake you." He tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Now, what can we learn from our Lord being tempted by the devil, and gaining the victory over him? Now, here's the first thing I want us to consider. We too will be tempted of Satan. When he came to tempt the Lord, he found no corruption in Christ to stir up or to provoke him to sin against God. We read in John 14:30, "For the prince of this world is come, and he hath nothing in me." That is, Satan found nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ that would agree with him in his wicked scheme and wicked plan. But that's not our case. There is much in our flesh, our fallen, depraved flesh, that is subject to Satan's influence and Satan's temptation that would draw us and tempt us and cause us to sin. Let us never be surprised. Let it never surprise us when we are tempted of a devil. Let us rather be expectant and be ready to deal with it according to the Word of God. Satan, we know in the scripture, he's called a murderer, he's called a liar, who vexed Job, who used Judas, who overthrew David for a season, and Peter. And he is still the adversary and accuser of the brethren. That is why the scriptures warn us to beware of Satan's devices. He is a master deceiver. He is still a liar. The Apostle Paul says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, let us beware of his devices, lest he take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." When the messenger of Satan came to buffet Paul and to badger Paul, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord said to Peter when he was tempted, "The Lord will not forsake us in the time of trial." Remember, our Lord said in Luke 22, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Now, like what Peter writes in his epistle, 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for the Lord careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." But the God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory, will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you in Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Now here's the second point that I would bring to your attention and have us to know. Satan attacked the Lord Jesus Christ in these three areas of our humanity that are so subject to temptation and weakness. John writes about it this way. He describes our weakness in the flesh this way. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. We have this lust of the flesh, this fallen, sinful flesh. We have this lust of the eyes, and we have this pride of life. Now, let's look at those three things in these temptations of Satan assaulting the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, we read, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Could the Lord have made these stones into bread? Yes, he could have. But the Lord never performed a miracle to relieve his own suffering. The Lord's hunger was real. 40 days, no food. Remember, he was doing what God the Holy Spirit led him to do, fasting and praying for 40 days. Satan tried to get the blessed Savior to live not by faith, but rather by sight. He tried to tempt him to distrust his Father's care, cast doubt upon him. If you were the Son of God, you would not be having these problems. If you were the Son of God, you would not be hungry. The Lord Jesus Christ refused to live by sight, refused to satisfy the lust of the eyes, refused to live by carnal reason. He was determined to live by faith, trusting the Lord God his Father, who promised to provide all things for his people. Our life does not exist just in natural bread only, but by every precept and decree of Almighty God. The Lord will provide for us, and he has so generously and eternally in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Our God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us. May God enable us to live and walk by faith, trusting the Father's wise and sovereign providential care of us, not to walk after the lust of the eyes and unbelief, but rather walking and living by faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the second area we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. Let me read this to you. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, talking about Jerusalem, and setteth the Lord Jesus upon this pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Here he has to do in tempting Satan, is tempting the Lord with what we call the pride of life, urging the Lord to act in a reckless manner, in daring presumption. He takes him to the pinnacle of the temple there in Jerusalem and suggests that he cast himself down, and by doing so, he would give public proof that he really was sent of God. That's nothing but pride. Here Satan quotes Psalm 91 and twist and rest and misuses the scripture, abuses the scripture to promote his own wicked motive, his own wicked life, just as he did in the garden with Adam and Eve when he said, you shall not surely die, for God has said, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. Satan still uses the same tactics today with carnal and fleshly men. One of Satan's favorite weapons he uses is the Bible, the word of God. And again, the Lord rebukes him with the word, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Now, thanks be unto our great God, our God and Savior Jesus Christ, for not yielding to the many assaults of the wicked one. The Lord of glory must obey the Father's will. His glory was far more important to him than the fickle approval of men by jumping off a building and being unhurt or showing off in the flesh. He didn't need that. He knew he was sent of God with God's purpose to accomplish our salvation. Thank God we have a Redeemer and a Savior who could not and would not yield to Satan upon any matter, but rather always went about seeking the will of the Lord, seeking to do the work of the Lord to his glory. This is a very high priest that God has provided for us and the one that we need. His faithfulness, his obedience unto God is our righteousness before God. We read in Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to help them that are tempted." He's able to help them that are tempted. Now, thirdly, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, down through verse 11, the next temptation has to do with the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 8 in Matthew chapter 4. "The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." What a terrible thing to suggest. What a terrible thing to say. "And the Lord said to him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now, this has to do with the lust of the flesh, or gaining fame and fortune by ungodly means, seeking power and prominence by worldly means at the expense of compromise. "Just worship me," the devil says, "and all things will be okay." Satan is a notable liar. The Lord Jesus calls him the father of lies. He has no real power to give, no glory to give. He acts as though he's the sovereign over the world. "Just compromise and worship me." He seeks unlawful dominion over man and grasp worldly power by compromising. "Just worship me." In Luke chapter 4, we have more information that Luke gives us here. In Luke 4 verse 6, the devil said, "All power will I give thee and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." What a liar that Satan is. Our Lord described him in John 8, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." How foolish is Satan? The world already belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He created all things by the word of his power. He already has all dominion and power. He made it all. He owns it all. Satan has nothing to give, no life to give but death, no honor to give but dishonor. Don't be fooled by his temptation. Let us therefore never compromise the gospel to satisfy the flesh. Let us always seek to worship, honor, and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Let us always seek to worship our God. He alone is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessings, and power. Let us stand for the gospel of Christ and never compromise the word of the Lord, but rather let us contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, a couple of closing thoughts from verse 11. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now let us beware of the temptations of Satan. They are real and they are dangerous. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. Let us resist him and rebuke him as the Lord did with the word of truth. We read in James chapter 4, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. The acts and thoughts Satan suggests to us are often in appearance trifling and unimportant. But when the principles of the gospel are involved and the worship of God is involved, we must be very careful to follow God's will, his purpose, according as it is written in the word. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. Let us quickly flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for grace to help in our time of need. Now here's a second closing thought. Let us also learn this valuable lesson to make much of the scripture. Let us always use it against the trickeries of the devil and the temptation of our flesh, as the Lord Jesus Christ did in that day of his temptation. David writes in Psalm 119, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our salvation." Let us make much of the word of God. If we would know the way of salvation as it's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us seek to know what the word of God teaches about salvation in Christ. It's able to make us wise unto salvation. If we would know the way to escape the temptations of Satan, let us bury ourselves in the word of God and worship him only. Paul writes about it in Ephesians 6, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints." May God be pleased to bless this word to our heart and give us understanding. These temptations are real, but we have in Christ an everlasting consolation. We have in Christ an everlasting salvation to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.